Welcome to Silicon Valley Business Connections, brought to you by the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce, where diversity and opportunity are one. From education to employment, entrepreneurship to innovation, this program is your weekly connection to the latest trends and opportunities taking place all across Silicon Valley. Host Carl Davis Jr. talks to the rock stars of Silicon Valley and offers you engaging interviews and insights from local, regional, and internationally acclaimed business leaders, entrepreneurs, and community leaders to help you stay connected. Now, here's your host, Carl Davis Jr.
You're not going to be wrong today because you're listening to Silicon Valley Business Connections. Hi, I'm Carl Davis Jr., and I'm your host, but I'm also the president of the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce, where we help all small businesses start, finance, grow, even exit their businesses for more profits. Our offices are located at 25 North 14th Street on the fifth floor, located in San Jose, downtown San Jose. Or you can reach us on the web at blackchamber.com. I'm going to bring on a good friend of mine, and this is so apropos in that we were having a hard time logging into Facebook, so we believe some issues are happening. We want to talk cybersecurity with a good friend of mine, Mr. Brian Arlenas. How you doing, Brian?
Great, Carl. It's great to be on today. Thank you.
Well, you know, I wasn't really joking about the cybersecurity stuff. I mean, I was blessed to attend something that you did, and we're going to talk about that. And that is such an issue, not only with, you know, what had happened in the presidential election. I don't want to dive right into it, Brian. People probably want to know, who is Brian Arlenas? Okay, let's start right there, Brian.
Well, so I'm CEO and founder of IT Source Tech. We're a cybersecurity company focused on both data security and the whole compliance frameworks that go around, making sure companies and the data that they have is in compliance with regulatory and other frameworks.
Well, Brian, I know that you're such an accomplished professional. I've been in your office, and I've seen so many awards. What was some of the things that you've done, Brian, that other people may be able to find out who you are and more about your company?
Now you're trying to embarrass me. I'm just a humble guy. We've won a lot of gotten a lot of recognition throughout the industry, both as being the top 2017 top minority cybersecurity company of the year, as well as winning top 25 GRC technology providers, and probably about 20 other awards over the last five to 7 years. So it's been fun. We help some of the country's largest financial institutions, actually world's largest financial institutions, healthcare providers, travel industry, largest global leaders in that space. It's fun. Never a dull moment being cybersecurity and the ever-changing landscape of nation-state attacks and all that fun stuff. So. It's always different every day we walk in.
Hey, why don't you give our listeners like a view, because people hear the word cybersecurity and really sometimes, Brian, they don't have a context of it. So why don't you take a second and take your time and kind of like give us a view of it, even if it's a 30,000 foot view down to maybe some other stuff.
Yeah, so cybersecurity or information security, they're slightly different but kind of the same. And really the focus is, anything, think of the digital world these days. You're connected through your phone, through your laptop, all these different devices. Now you've got, your thermostat even connecting through the internet. So anything that's got an IP address, is now something that can be used and/or attacked, to get to your data or to compromise your systems or to launch attacks on other networks. So, as we've seen in the past with other attacks that have happened throughout the country and globally. Now, Internet of Things is a very big concern And so, you know, it's really about how do you protect the devices, the data, really these critical assets. And healthcare, is, as you can imagine, it's a rapidly expanding conversation as well, as people have, you know, different monitors and whatnot that are hooked up through their smartphones now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if somebody gets into your smartphone, they could actually compromise your, potentially your pacemaker, or, you know, they get into a hospital network and they could be changing medications that are being delivered to patients. So it's a hot topic as far as how do you protect all of the data and the systems that are, you know, on the network and providing those services to customers.
Man, you know what, Brian, I don't think people realize the magnitude of what you just said, because medical things, or everybody's leaning toward more technology, and you use the term Internet of Things, and for those who don't see it a lot, the acronym, I used to always see IoT, right? What is that? Mm-hmm. Internet of Things. Yep. And the fact of that these devices are now going to be connected to the Internet, and now being connected to the Internet is great as far as the technology, being able to remotely use them, get data from them, but now you have to what? Protect that. That's huge, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Exactly.
Well, that field is growing so much, Brian. I mean, you know, where do you see it going? I mean, what type of, you know, vision do you see about, you know, cybersecurity?
Well, you know, I mean, it's ever changing, and you know, especially as artificial intelligence continues to advance, it's a good thing and potentially a harmful thing. You know, where our technologies that we use to protect are leveraging artificial intelligence. But at the same time, you also have artificial intelligence being used to try and attack systems. So
I know, that's crazy.
You know,
huh?
It's like the arms race.
You know? That's crazy.
Like the old nuclear arms race of decades past. It's switching now to cyber.
Wow, man. You know, every time you say something like that, my wife and I, you're talking about some movies, and I think about the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Terminator. You know, when I go and look at that movie now from the perspective, what I have of what you were just talking about, how AI, artificial intelligence, is trying to protect us and attacking people, it made the decision that we were the bad people and it wanted to kill the humans, right? That's the whole premise, right?
Right.
And so what do you think about that, Brian? Is that possible? is that something we have to watch out for in the future?
Well, you know, you always hope that something like that wouldn't happen, but you know, it's in my opinion, it is definitely possible. You look at, you know, you could get in a big debate about it, but I mean, the more logical artificial intelligence is and starts seeing the harm that we do to you know, our environment and you know, our world, it's not that far of a stretch in my opinion. And just looking at technology, I mean, this isn't cybersecurity related, but I think it was over in Saudi Arabia, they just made the first artificial intelligent, you know, humanoid citizen. So
really,
that was kind of breaking news. Yeah, so they actually have a kind of humanoid robot that has artificial intelligence, and they gave it citizenship.
And they did that in Saudi Arabia. Wow.
I believe that's where it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing, man. So here we're dealing with clone stuff now. I don't believe that the chicken, that Kentucky Fried Chicken, is all clone, but I know cloning works, and why wouldn't you use it, right? So now we got cloning, we got this humanoid thing with AI. Brian, you know, how do you and your professionals, how do you guys even plan to protect us from things like that?
Well, I think it's just all a matter of staying ahead of the curve. And so as things are rapidly developing, you know, I'm very blessed to have a talented team here and exceptional partners that we work with to always stay, you know, at that cutting edge. You know, I won't say bleeding edge, because everything that we get partnered with, we make sure is validated and you know, works. So you got to be right on that cutting edge, though, where it's very close to bleeding edge approach, and you know, just trying to stay with encryption. That's a big component that we're really driving with a lot of our clients is to encrypt their data, both the structured and unstructured data. So that means the structured data is the things in your applications and systems that basically you have a row or a column or a cell or whatnot within that application, and the unstructured data is all of that data like an Excel file or a PDF or an image, a music file. All of that stuff is the unstructured data, and that's a very hard thing to protect. And when you think about financial institutions, you think about healthcare providers, you think about even automotive manufacturers, all that unstructured data, because it's in so many different file formats and whatnot, makes it very hard to protect. And so that's been one of the areas that we actually have seen a lot of push towards protecting, and we're partnered with a phenomenal company called Secure Circle that we actually have introduced and been successful with helping some of these large organizations see as the next way of protecting all of that unstructured data.
You know, that's what your company does. And on the second half of this, Brian, because we're almost going to get near our break, I definitely want to talk about this international coalition of minority cybersecurity professionals. I definitely want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about how minorities' roles are in cybersecurity, but I want to just accent what you said about your company. Your company can help large firms protect their data. So how would somebody reach you, Brian? Because I want people to know that.
They can call us here in the office. Or they can visit us on the web. The web is www.itsourcetech.com, and that's itsourcetech.com. Be happy to help.
And how about your number, Brian? Let's give that out too before we go to break, or whatever number you want to have the company number.
The number is toll free. It's 866-548-4911.
4911. So that's 866-548-4911.
4911.
Well, we're going to take on more of this when we come back. You're listening to Silicon Valley Business Connections with Brian Arlenas.
This is Silicon Valley Business Connections with Carl Davis Jr., brought to you by the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce. More information about today's show is available by going to the Chamber's website, blackchamber.com, or call 408-288-8806. Now, back to Silicon Valley Business Connections.
Well, Brian, I want to ask you, Brian, I know you're really well accomplished, but as we talk about the connections that people have made or leveraged or used to get people where they're at, I wanted to ask you, Brian, who or what connections did you have or make or were able to use to get you where you're at today?
Yeah, it's been, there's so many people that have helped influence me into getting where we are now, and where I've been able to take the company now. There's great leaders, big companies. Some of it I have to keep kind of confidential as I think through this, but a lot of CIOs and CISOs and even CEOs that I've worked with that have really influenced where I'm at today.
Yeah, but people like Sam Washington, Walter Jones, those people you can talk about, huh?
Yes. Yeah, they are people. So Walter Jones, he's our CIO here at IT Source Tech. But when he used to run all of the infrastructure and IT operations at Wells Fargo. Mm. We had thousands of people underneath him. He's definitely one of my mentors that after he retired from Wells Fargo and got a bunch of his traveling out of the way, we were able to pull him out of retirement and bring him in here to work with us at IT Source Tech. So he's definitely a major influence in my life that's helped helped me get to where I am today. And Sam Washington is another one that was a client for many years. You know, he was an executive here at IT Source Tech for a while, and now he's a cybersecurity executive consultant. So he's another very good person that's helped influence things.
Whenever I hear that, IT Source Tech, I love it. People don't know, but Brian is actually a member of the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce and one of our biggest and strongest supporters. So, you know, we thank you for that, Brian. And speaking of that, Brian, your influence, your heart for just everyone, you know, we were talking earlier about minorities in cybersecurity. Can you kind of paint a picture of what that looks like now, Brian, and what things are happening that can change that picture, and why is that important?
Yeah, so thank you for bringing that up, because as you know, you were at the event. We just had our West Coast Summit meeting for the International Consortium of Cybersecurity Professionals, Minority Cybersecurity Professionals. Really, the focus is on trying, that's a nonprofit that I'm on the advisory board of, and really the focus is trying to increase diversity in cybersecurity, and the reason for that, not just because it's the right thing to do, but because it's actually the more diversity you have within a cybersecurity environment, the more creativity and divergent thinking you're going to get. And that's a proven fact. There's some great statistics out there regarding that. But the bottom line is this: if you think about it, our attackers, all the bad guys out there trying to get into our corporate networks and government networks, and steal data, or do sinister things, they're coming from all over the world. Mm-hmm. So if you only have one type of individual in your cybersecurity environment, say it's an all-white male environment, mm-hmm. you're not going to have the type of thinking mm-hmm. to mirror mm-hmm. what those attackers look like.
Mm-hmm.
So, you've got to have people from all different cultures and thought processes, and also have women involved in that, because mm-hmm. we all have different lens that we see the world through.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more perspective that we can get, the better solutions we're going to design, and the better processes and other things that we're going to be able to do. So that's been a big push. It's something I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And, Devin Bryan and Larry Whiteside Jr. and a lot of other people, Eric Permenter, there's a lot of people that were involved in really putting together ICMCP. And, they brought me into it, I guess it was about 2 or 3 years ago when they were getting things started. I've been trying to help in whatever way I can, and just about a year and a half ago joined in as an advisory board member. We're trying to do whatever we can to help large corporations and government really understand the impact that it can make. And I think most people do know at this point, Carl,
mm-hmm.
that diversity is something you need in cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's really, how do we get that workforce? How do we get the talent?
Mm.
Because in technology in general, there's not enough diversity. There's not enough minorities with the right training and or as a part of the industry. And so we're trying to help people understand that they can make a mid-career move and transition,
mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of analytical type of positions that people are in. It's not all just technical, zeros and ones.
Mm-hmm.
You've got legal professionals that are needed in cybersecurity. You've got compliance professionals needed. You've got analysts that are needed, and intelligence specialists. So, there's a lot of different roles out there, not just coders and hackers. So that's something I think we're trying to push the message out. And as well, if people do have that technical background, let's help you get the training that you need in order to move over to cybersecurity, because it's very possible.
Mm. And when you said that too, it made me think about, many people think that they have to get a certain certificate to be a cybersecurity professional. Go ahead and dive in and share what somebody would really need, Brian.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of different certifications that we at ICMCP help people to get. And there's great organizations out there that actually give us scholarships for our members to get that free training. So, you know, that's kind of the benefit of being a member of ICMCP, where they can go to ICMCP.org and register as a member. And, you know, we help with mentors, whereas, you know, quite a few of the people that were at that event serve as mentors, and it's really, I think, makes a big impact on people helping to transition. Like Alex Ruiz was a perfect person to lead that. He was a school teacher. he transitioned, and now he's a director running, you know, one of the largest groups, you know, for Capital One, you know, as an information security officer for that line of business. So it's all possible.
Wow. So there's really hope for Carl Welsh. Even though he graduated at Cal, you know, he can make a midterm pivot, a career change, and he can actually be a cybersecurity professional. I'll let him know that.
Exactly.
Because we liked it, because we want to line up with you, you know, with our RR360 program, where we talk about recruitment and retention. That's one of the issues that we believe that, and I want to get this acronym out for everybody to get it, ICMCP. And that stands for International Coalition of Minority Cybersecurity Professionals. So ICMCP.org, you can go and get more information. The impact that Brian and the staff and those people at ICMCP, it's just amazing, because I was there and it opened up my eyes. And I was amazed that to learn that you didn't have to be just a hacker or a tech person, that cybersecurity is going to be needed by everything. And we all just talked earlier about that Internet of Things. So it's a huge field. How do you feel that, Brian, or what can we do to get minorities more interested in cybersecurity as a profession? Well, what could we do?
You know, I think it's just more pushing the message out that you know, breaking down the stigma and the barrier that you have to be technical. Mm-hmm. You know, the great news is they're very high-paying jobs, and there's a lot of jobs that are open now. So, I mean, when you think about something that can really move the pendulum for the, you know, different cultures that make up the diverse community, you know, that really is, I see cybersecurity as being that way for self-sustaining, you know, type of careers.
Yeah, you said the word high paying. That ought to get a lot of our listeners interested. A lot of security. It's going to be a long. You'd have a long life in it. And I want to just state something that I saw in a McKinsey study. It says that if a company is ethnic and gender, or they are in the first quartile of being ethnic and gender diverse, the likelihoods of their profits above the average industry mean is over 35%. So what Brian is saying, it isn't just the right thing to do. It's about business. You will make more money being more ethnic and gender diverse. Brian, we got about a minute and a half before we wrap it up, and I want you to kind of, like, you know, give us what you think are the best takeaways that we can, you know, have from something like this, what people really should know.
You know, I would say there's a lot of opportunity, and especially for you know, the minority community, but also just in general, there's a lot of opportunity in cybersecurity. And one of the key things is we need to get more involved, and so that's where I think there's a lot of room for current leaders that are in technology or cybersecurity to really embrace diversity. But you know, also one other key takeaway, not related to diversity, is, you know, really from a corporate and individual consumer perspective, we all need to take more ownership of protecting our data.
Yes.
And, you know, that's where, you know, I highly encourage people to have their, you know, credit being monitored and all of those types of things, where I do that myself. There's been so many data breaches that impact, you know, hundreds of millions of people here in the U.S. alone. And, you know, things don't happen usually for 2 to 5 years after a breach.
Wow.
So right when people start feeling comfortable again that their data is okay, that's when the criminals start using their information and the fraud happens. So it's usually not right after a breach. Usually is, you know, 3 to 5 years, 2 to 5 years afterwards. So, you know,
protect,
keep those monitoring
protect
things in place.
Your data, right? Well, Brian, yep. You know, we're out of time right now, but we want to thank our guest today, Mr. Brian Arlanis of IT Source Tech. And you can hear this show again if you go to blackchamber.com and look under radio and podcast. And until next week, we always tell you, stay connected. You're listening to Silicon Valley Business Connections.
You've been listening to Silicon Valley Business Connections with Carl Davis Jr. and brought to you by the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce. More information about today's show is available by going to the Chamber's website, blackchamber.com. That's blackchamber.com. Or call 408-288-8806. That's 408-288-8806. Copies of our podcast are available online at blackchamber.com. If you would like to know more about a specific guest or make recommendations for upcoming guests and topics, email info@blackchamber.com. Keeping you connected, Silicon Valley Business Connections.